I found out I was able to orgasm in chastity.
No way.
Yes. it was
orgasm so great. Through the cage. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Sweet Release. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. As you can see, I'm here again with Popstar, and I am so excited to talk about this supplement again because I have had a couple weeks, maybe a little under 2 weeks of testing. My partner has been taking the supplement, and I've just been, you know, tasting him for science, and we've been having so much fun. Even though it's just been a short amount of time, I have noticed an increase in volume, and he tastes delicious. And it's just been connecting us more. It's been making us feel silly in the bedroom. It's just been making me just have fun, and just having that pleasure-filled session is so important, and focusing on our connection to our body and our connection to our sexual health. And I just want that for you. So please check it out. I want you all to be sweet, not just to your lovers and to yourself, but be sweet in the bedroom. I want you to taste good. Use my code BESWEET or go to www.popstarlabs.com/BESWEET. And just be sweet out there. Have fun. Enjoy. Now let's get to Derek Cage. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I am so excited. I have Derek Cage here. And you just won Adult Film or Gay Film Performer of the Year 2024. Mm-hmm. You also won Best Newcomer of the Year. And... best, what was the other one? There were three.
Best leading actor.
Best leading actor. Congratulations.
Thank you. Keep the compliments coming.
Oh, that is so amazing. How did that feel?
I'm still processing because it doesn't feel like it was so soon ago. It was back in end of January. And, you know, so first one was the XBiz Gay Performer of the Year that I won. And, I felt like I had a good chance. I was like, cause I worked, you know, I grinded last year, like throughout the entire year. And then when it came up to time, I was at the event. I'm kind of like, okay, I think I got a shot. I think I actually have a shot. And then it got closer and closer to them announcing it. And I'm kind of sitting there and I was like, I think I'm going to win it. I think it's going to happen. And then when they called my name, like all of my emotion hit all at once.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you cried. I feel like that would just be an emotional experience. I would be bawling.
I didn't cry on stage, which was shocking because I thought all the emotion hit me and I had this moment of just like everything that I had worked hard for, everything that I'd, you know, recovered from a few years ago. All of it was so worth it. And when all of that emotion hit me, you know, I also kind of prepared a speech for, you know, just in case. I didn't want to be that guy up there, like, just thanks, guys, you know. Mm-hmm. But so I had it somewhat prepared. So I got up there, I said my spiel. I also shouted out to the Free Speech Coalition, which I will always shout out Free Speech Coalition. And then when I got backstage, cried, just bawled, happy cried. Sophia, who you've had on the show, I messaged her just like, I won. And she just was losing her mind. And so, yeah, it was all of the emotion all at once was just one of the most wonderful feelings.
And then to get two more. So they were at two separate, or they were all at separate awards shows. Is that
the
how X-Biz, it happens?
XBiz was here in LA. Okay. And then the Gay VN Awards were in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And so the Gay VN ones, which are strictly the gay side of the adult industry, it was all of those awards. And so, yeah, to win Best Newcomer, because it's last year was my first full year in the adult industry.
Right. You're new.
Relatively. Yeah. Like brand new.
To have all those awards. Like, what an honor. I mean, that's such a treat.
I kind of compare it to like, you know, a little gay meteor hitting the world, you know, the earth, and just like letting everyone know that I'm here to, you know, I'm here to perform. And so to win Best Newcomer and then win Best Leading Actor in the same year, I don't know if that's ever been done before.
Yeah, I'm sure you're hitting some records.
I think so. I think so. And for all of that to have happened, it really was just one of those moments where I'm like, I'm where I need to be. I'm doing what I need to be doing. And I'm going to keep doing what I need to be doing.
Yeah, it's so validating.
Yes.
Have you always been a pretty sexual human being? Yeah. So what made you get into it, or kind of what was the journey like?
I'm wondering where I would even begin to start with that journey. I have always been a very sexually curious person. Within boundaries, I've always just been like, what is this? You know, this I find kind of exciting. How can I experiment with that? Do I enjoy it? Do I like it? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the answer was yes. Like, I experimented with something and I'm like, oh, that triggers this part of my brain, or that triggers this pleasure or something. And so to get started in the adult industry, I was never really shy about it. It was more of a just, is this the right time? Is this something that I should do? Because I was actually working for the Department of Defense prior to the adult industry. Worked for them for about 15 years.
Wow.
So it was straight out of college.
What were you doing?
My title was a logistics management specialist.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like acquisition, sustainment, operations, making sure that aircraft could fly type thing. That's what I was doing. And I wasn't in the military, but I just worked for them.
Right. That's a big government position still, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a... intense.
it had its moments. Yeah, it for sure had its moments.
Did you like it?
I can't say I liked it.
Yeah.
my life is a just a kind of circus of, you know, unfortunate timing with life. So I graduated undergrad with a degree in finance and economics right when the global financial collapse happened
in
2007, 2008.
Okay, yeah.
And so with a finance degree, I was completely unemployable for all intents and purposes. I could not get a job. And so there was a huge army base in my hometown and they were hiring. So it was one of those, like, I guess I'll do this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the only way I can make money right now. So I'll do this. And it worked for, you know, for what it was worth. It worked, and it was, you know, it got me from, you know, point A to point B, got me a better standard of living type thing. But then it just became horribly toxic and a very awful environment for my mental health. Mm-hmm. And so around, you know, 2022, that was when I started to really seek out, like, I need to do something different. Like, this no longer is doing, this isn't good for my mental health, and it's not good for my life, like what I want to do. I can't just be stagnant in this position and do this for the rest of my life. It didn't track.
It's no longer serving you in the way, or.
Right, right. And so I was performing, or I was doing OnlyFans around that time. I started, you know, mere days before the pandemic hit. Mm. I was living in Washington, D.C., and I'm like, you know, I think this would be like, everyone's kind of jumping on this bandwagon. I feel like I could do it. I feel like I can enjoy this and make a little extra money. And within 5 days, I think it was, pandemic hit. And it was like, okay, I guess I'm just doing solo stuff.
This is what I'm doing. Now I'm stuck at home.
Yeah, I was like, guess I'm just
taking videos.
Yeah. And it worked. And it was, it allowed me to explore some of my sexuality. It allowed me to explore some of my kinks and make a little money at it. And so it worked. It was really good. But then in May of 2022 was when a friend of mine, Grant Ducati, invited me to go onto a studio set. He said, I think you'd be really good. It's the studio was called Trailer Trash Boys. And so as a kid from Alabama, I'm like, oh, I identify. I can do this. I could definitely do this. And Grant was from Alabama as well. And so we really played it up, and I got to see how, you know, like, even in adult, you know, studio work, you can play around with it. You can have fun with it. You can.
Yeah, like, you're an actor. Like, you're acting.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I turned on my Southern accent.
I was going to say, you're from the South.
I can turn it back on when I need to. But, so yeah, we played it, and I felt right at home. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I'm like, I think this is it. I really think this is it. And so, within a few months after that, I resigned from the Department of Defense, and rest is history.
Yeah, you know, like a sword.
I did that gay meteor hitting the earth, letting you know I'm here.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I've watched some of your stuff, and it's cool. You know, a lot of people, I feel like, put gay sex in kind of a box. Mm-hmm. And it's like seen as just one way. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see you giving, receiving with groups, mm-hmm. with like people across the entire gender spectrum.
Yeah.
Is that how your sexual life has been pre-porn, or have you always been kind of, you know, fluid and explorative? I mean, you said you kind of like to explore and were mm-hmm. curious.
I wouldn't say across the gender spectrum. I mean, when I first started having sex, it was with men and women, you know, like cisgender men and women. And then from my 20s until my later 30s, it was strictly men. And I was in relationships, that really didn't allow me to explore or enjoy. I was actually in my longest relationship actually was kind of would shame me for wanting to explore or do things. And like outside of a, you know, kind of heteronormative relationship. And so I didn't get to explore for a solid 7 years, even though my brain was constantly like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? I want to try that. Oh, but I can't. You know, because I'm in this relationship that kind of made me feel shameful for wanting to explore. So it wasn't always allowed for me. I didn't feel comfortable exploring. But when I was out of those relationships, that's when kicked into high gear to explore. And then when I got into the adult industry, all the doors opened. And I felt fully free to explore, to experiment. And I even started realizing that it, like, it doesn't even have to be limited to men or transgender women. I can also explore with cisgender women as well and still maintain my like homosexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as everyone's comfortable with it, you know, like we can experiment, we can have fun, we can create amazing art, we can create something, you know, for our fan sites. And it doesn't have to be this strict box of gay sex. And so that's where I feel like I'm kind of paving a different, you know, way for gay performers. Kind of the, you might have heard of gay for pay.
No, type. I haven't actually.
Really? Okay. So within the gay side of the adult industry, there are some men that identify as straight that come over and perform.
Oh, I see.
And yes. So they call it gay for pay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would be kind of a derogatory term or anything. It's pretty standard term. And so I feel like I am paving this way of straight for pay.
Yeah, totally. So. Yeah. So, cause I've seen, yeah, you're sometimes in a set with a woman or, mm-hmm. and sometimes do you penetrate women still too? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, you definitely see yourself as homosexual, like yes. to fall in love, it would only be with a man,
right?
But mm-hmm. playfully and exploring. Mm-hmm. Bodies are bodies, and why not enjoy and create art with whoever?
Exactly. That's where I feel that lies, that experimentation, and that, because like you said, if I were to romantically fall in love with someone, or if I had an emotional connection, it's going to be with a man, mm-hmm. Typically a cisgender man. And so I've been recently getting a lot of online hate. From the gay community specifically.
Really?
Yes. Yes. It's almost a gatekeeping kind of thing where they don't like the idea of a gay man being with women or being with transgender men or transgender women. They want a gay man to strictly stay in a box of performing, working with, being attracted to only other gay men. And my brain just does not operate that way. It does not. It's if I've learned from the relationships I had in the past that if I am restricted in any way, I start to suffer mentally, physically. I don't feel free. And so it just kind of, you know, when I get this hate online that, you know, people saying you can't do this, you have to be this, you have to be this, it just makes me want to explore and experiment even more. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the mentality lies.
Yeah. And that's good advice for people too, because there is so much hate around sexuality and, mm-hmm. and just in the industry, you know, and what both of us are doing, you know, having mm-hmm. these vulnerable conversations about sex and kink and all the mm-hmm. taboo subjects. There's so many people that give you so much hate mm-hmm. and to kind of use that hate as like the catalyst for more growth and, mm-hmm. and more healing and just more healing, good vibes.
The healing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
the healing is a big part of that. The relationships I was in that kept me very restricted. I did feel that shame for feeling like I wanted to experiment and I wanted to enjoy other things that they didn't want to enjoy. But I kept myself from experimenting and exploring at my own, just at my own detriment. Mm-hmm. And so now that I have this full freedom to explore and to experiment, I won't ever go back to someone that tries to restrict me in any way. And I'm still to this day healing from that. I still get these things in my mind every now and then, like, oh, I don't know if I should do that. But then I think, no, explore, experiment, you're allowed to, you can feel this and you can, you know, if you don't enjoy it, you learn. If you do enjoy it, well done. You've unlocked another, you know, another life achievement you've unlocked. And so it's the healing part is, I think, extremely important mm-hmm. that I'm now free to live the way that I want to. I don't have to feel that shame or restriction.
Yeah. And what would you say to someone who's in a relationship that feels that? Like, do you have any advice or how would they communicate that to their lover or maybe even get out of that relationship? Like, how did you do it?
I would never advocate for someone or telling someone to get out of their relationship. You know, that's not my business. That's not my place to say anything like that. I would phrase it in more of a way of what would make you happy. Because at the end of the day, this is your life. This is, you know, if you want to experiment with polygamy, if you want to experiment with men, but you're in a relationship with a woman, you know, if you're with somebody that restricts you from doing that and restricts you from doing what you feel would make you happy or, you know, expand your sexual repertoire, you know, expand your, you know, your horizons sexually, what do you think is worth it? Do you think this relationship, you know, whether you feel you have to be in it, whether you feel it's something that, you know, your family would support or, you know, all of it comes down to what is it, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Because that's the way I look at it now. And, you know, people can call me selfish. People can say that I'm only looking out for myself. And I would honestly have to say, yeah, for 38 years, I catered and pandered to other people because I felt like I had to. I felt it was the norm. I felt it, you know, my family was like, oh, you should definitely, if you're in this relationship, you should only be with them. You should, you know, you shouldn't do anything crazy. You shouldn't do anything wild. My relationships would say the same thing. But at the end of the day, it was all self-serving for them and what they were comfortable with and what they wanted. And I never took the time to think about what I wanted and what would make me the happiest. And now that I finally am in a position where I get to feel that every day, mm-hmm. To me, that is what's worth it most. And so I would phrase to someone that might be struggling with that, what would make you happy? And you really can't think about the other person. Like at the end of the day, it is what makes you happy.
Yeah, that's great advice. Kind of thinking about your own values too, you know, and really diving deep into yourself and kind of analyzing what it is that you want.
Yeah. And I mean, you're probably going to hurt people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Always. You're going to. But at the end of the day, it is what makes you happy.
Yeah, I really like to help couples because I feel like that's part of the healing journey. There's so many people that are just confused about what to do or they're not really secure in who they are. So I do think that's really great advice to really just feel like what are your values? What makes you happy and all of that?
Yeah. And I'll just as an aside to this is one of the things that because I consistently get asked, oh, would you ever date again? Do you want to be in a relationship again? You've got all this trauma from relationships. Would you ever be open to anything else? And my response is always, I can provide everything that I need, you know, on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And the only way I would ever let somebody in again is if they added to that. if they brought just the same level of, you know, being able to provide for themselves. Like, it's more of a, we don't need each other, we want each other. And so I've not really been open to any kind of relationship, but that would be the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Would be, you, if you're coming into my life, you better not take anything away. You better not require me to do anything for you on a regular basis. It needs to be, you need to be able to provide for yourself completely. And when we meet as equals.
Right. It's additive too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're just adding to my already full life.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, mm-hmm. I'd love to also talk about, you know, I saw you, I think it was at an awards show or something, mm-hmm. and you were dressed in shibari. Mm-hmm. And one, I love fetish fashion. I love that. Is that something you often do, or are you into rope?
I am. Tell very me about into that. Rope. Yeah. Yes. since I started in the adult industry, I've worked a lot with kink.com mm-hmm. and kinkmen.com. And since working for them, it has unlocked so many fetishes and so many kinks of mine. I am very thankful to kink, because it's also become very therapeutic, mm-hmm. Getting to experiment with all of that. As far as the fashion goes, I'm starting to get into it. I'm starting to dive in, because I'm not a fashion person. Like, it just does not, I don't have the mind for it. I always have to kind of outsource and be like, say help, you know? Mm-hmm. but dressing like that, it was, I wanted to give an homage, like, I would just kind of give my appreciation to the shibari and kenbaku community, as well as kind of show off a different side of, you know, the adult industry. I wanted, because one of the things I've noticed about some of the award shows is that they have like a best fetish category, but they kind of steer away from the stuff that I do, you know, like, I'm getting flogged, getting, you know, tied up. I got waterboarded recently and it was lovely.
Tell people what that is for people that don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Not like the, you know, Guantanamo Bay waterboarding, but right. more of like, so my scene partner was Dante Cole, who is adorable and very, such a professional. So I was sitting in a chair like this and my arms were tied behind my back. I felt completely safe. I felt very, you know, like, in a minute, if I needed them to stop, it was going to stop. And so, so what it was they Dante tilted my head back, put a cloth over my face and poured a cup of water over my face. It lasted for about 10 seconds, I want to say. And so the thing is that you can't take a breath in because your mouth is filling up with water. Mm-hmm. You can't breathe out because water is consistently coming in. And so the kind of, I guess, mental part of it is you feel like you're drowning.
Yeah, it's a breath play thing. Mm-hmm.
It's a breath too, play thing. Yeah. Yes. And from what I understand, your brain can react in one of two ways. One way is you can completely panic and feel like you are like that you're drowning or that you're dying. Or you can go into such a state of zen and peace and, you know, like, complete control over your entire body. I went into the zen mm-hmm. side. And so
it's where you
want to
go.
It's where you want to go, for especially like if this is something you want to be into. I'd never tried it before. The only breath play I'd ever tried was like, you know,
choking
yeah. kind of thing. And so, you know, we tried it off camera first and I'm like, it's not bad. I was like, this is kind of fine. And then we did it about four or five more times. And the funniest thing happened, because on the last time that we did a cup of water, Dante pulled the cloth off my face and I was smiling. Ravi, who is the rigger, the rope rigger, I could actually hear him in the background going, is he smiling? Like, it was just such a magical moment for everyone to be like, okay, this is, we've, you know, we know that he's not going to divulge government secrets at this point. He's like, he's into this. And so, yeah, it was such a fantastic experience. And, you know, I at least feel like I'm capable of doing more of that and playing around with more of that and safely. So yeah,
that's a fun kink. Yeah. That's not something I've ever tried. And you know, kink isn't all about the orgasm. So I'm sure that was kind of just like a pre kind of, is it just kind of getting you in the mood and then you guys like played after, or what was it like?
For me, as well as for kink, there's always a dom and sub dynamic. I don't think I've ever seen one where like the dom becomes the sub and vice versa. There's always a dom sub dynamic, which is one of my favorites. And as a switch as well, like I can do either side. It triggers that, like the pleasure, mental pleasure zones with me. It's rarely ever a physical pleasure. It's always mental. And so whenever I usually am the submissive for kink, because I'm just able to, clearly I'm able to take whatever they can give me. And I'm just
you can easily go into your subspace. It sounds like
the subspace. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And so it's, for me as a submissive, it's all about the mental. It's rarely physical. Whereas when I'm in the dom role, I typically am mostly for the physical, for me, at least. For the submissive, I know it's more for the mental. At least for myself, you know, when I'm, that's how I kind of go about it. If I'm doming, is I'm like, I know that there's a mental aspect to this. There's a mental thing at play here that I know to trigger for the submissive. But we were also talking about fashion and how,
carried away.
We started talking about kinks and we're like, let's go. My friend Marshall, who, is a rigger, he's a shibari artist. I love everything that he does. I wanted him to put me in the shibari and I would just kind of wear, you know, my pants and a blazer over it because I wanted to display it. I wanted to show that this is a part of the community that I feel is a little underappreciated in the adult industry. And so I wanted to draw attention to it. And we were talking about the awards that they have the category, but they don't really want to go in the hardcore BDSM stuff. They they kind of keep it a little more like at the Gavians this year, and you know, not to take away from winners, but and what they nominated, but the best fetish was a self suck scene.
Really?
Yeah. So like a guy was, you know, sucking on his own dick, and I'm like that's hot.
I mean, that's impressive.
It's impressive. Absolutely.
It's not really that kinky, you would think.
Right. It's more of a like a dare I call it a novelty kind of thing.
It's kind of a talent.
Yeah. Not everybody can do it. Not everybody can experience it. Whereas BDSM, I feel genuine BDSM is something that everybody can experience. Everybody can learn from it. Everybody can enjoy it. And I kind of feel that, you know, the award shows, they don't really want to display that too much. So I kind of, in my, you know, rebellious way, wanted to be like, hey,
let's appreciate the rope.
You know, so that's where I wanted to display the shibari.
Yeah, you looked great. I'm similarly, you know, whether it's a sex party or some special event, the rope harnesses are so fun to wear, or, you know, obviously the chokers are fun too, or something like that. I remember going to a music festival with a girlfriend and I wore my choker and she had a leash and she just like dragged me around all day.
It was a music festival.
But yeah, it was fun. We got a lot of attention, so that was nice.
I can't imagine why. Yes.
But do you have any other kinks that you'd be interested in sharing?
How much time do we have?
We got time.
So I went to a shop here in LA called Rough Trade.
Okay.
Yesterday, and I saw this shirt.
Yeah, you're looking. I haven't even noticed your shirt.
It's actually displaying my favorite fetish, my favorite kink.
Which is that a cock cage or chastity cage? Mm-hmm. So let's describe the shirt for people that aren't watching. Okay, yep. So it's so a rooster,
a very colorful rooster that says Rough Trade gear, and it is a metal chastity cage, and the rooster's head is locked in the chastity cage.
So good.
And so for those that may not know, that's where I got my last name of my stage name,
Derek Cage. Yes, I love that.
It is probably the kink that I have explored the most.
Okay.
And exhibited the most. It's I love the Dom sub dynamic of chastity play. Mm-hmm. I love how the Dom can be holding the key and say, you're going to do what I want. You're going to let me do what I want to you in order to like earn back this key, or to like to earn your right to come again. Or so, you know, that's kind of the role play.
Yeah, it's mental too,
it's
which you like.
Yeah. So yeah, so this is probably my favorite is chastity.
Did you explore it first by yourself? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I did. I played around with how long I could stay in it. I found out I was able to orgasm in chastity.
No way.
Yes.
But you can't get hard fully. So
I am actually, I know this is, you're kind of like, how does this work? How does this happen? I have the ability to control my boners, my erections. And so when I'm in chastity, it kind of gets a little hard, but I'm able to keep it kind of at bay. And so I was able to, I use a Hitachi to put on the tip of it. And that's how I'm capable of orgasming. And so it's just the stimulation on the, you know, the head of the penis that is, makes me able to come while I'm in chastity. Wow. One of my kink men scenes, I did it. It That's was a successful, you know, it was
so orgasm great. Through the cage. Mm-hmm. I had a listener reach out to me not long ago, and he was doing like, he was locked himself up for the whole month. And that was like his kink. Like he was like so excited, and he's like, see how far I can go.
Was it the month of October?
Yes,
by chance?
Locktober.
Locktober. Yep. It's a thing now.
Oh,
it is
God,
a thing.
That's so cool.
I am so supportive of everybody, you know, within healthy boundaries.
Of course.
Like
always.
To, you know, explore, experiment with this, because it's all mental. It is all mental, and it's a submissive act of, you know, giving up your like natural abilities. You're like, you know, things that most guys don't think twice about. It's taking that away and denying yourself that. And so I feel that that's such like a, you know, for the ones that genuinely want to try it and do it, bravo.
Yeah,
do it. Enjoy. Enjoy.
And you can get like pretty ones too. Like there's different kinds and colors and keys. And I don't know, there's some beauty to it.
I've noticed there's a lot of pink ones coming out.
Okay.
And I'm kind of like, oh, yes. Because another major kink of mine is a feminization, and we call it sissification, to where a man dresses in, you know, female clothing, walks in chastity, refers to himself as a girl, as a princess, and that triggers another, you know, thing with me. I have a friend of mine that lives in Las Vegas. Every time I come over to his place and we film, he's waiting with a thong, a skirt, like usually some stockings and like the garter clips and everything. And it just
gets you going
in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. he does it too, where he like answers the door dressed like that. And I'm like, here we go.
he knows he's getting you going.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's also knows what he's going to get as well. And so he's very, you know, it's definitely a mutual, you know, benefit to the both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sissy or sissification. Yeah. That's such a beautiful way for men to like express themselves and tap into their femininity.
Yes.
And whether it's just wearing lingerie or doing the whole titties and, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. I love it. I just love the fluidity of human beings. So it's really cool to see people just like completely change into another person, really. I mean, it's them, but they look like, I don't know. It's so beautiful.
They're also with my friend that does this, the connection that we have when that role play is happening, it's very difficult for me to explain, but it's just, that's the word, is connection. Mm-hmm. Is like, I know that I am going to be calling him a good girl, and I'm going to be like bringing the best out of him, and, you know, for my pleasure as well as his, because it's not only it's mental for both of us and it's physical for both of us. And the like the touching, the empathy wouldn't be the word, it would be like emotional connection as well, where like I feel like, you know, the caretaker, I feel like you know, the provider, the like that manly kind of, you know, I'm the man here. I need to. And then he, of course, is like, I'm the female here, mm-hmm. and I am going to take care of this man. I'm going to please this man. And so we're in our own world when that happens. And the connection between the two of us is unreal.
Yeah, that's a special connection. That's a great way to put it. A special mm-hmm. connection and a special dynamic that you can curate in your mm-hmm. relationships with these role plays and with mm-hmm. these different things that you're interested in.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever wear lingerie or tap into your feminine energy ever?
Not, I'm willing to explore it. I haven't. I've worn thongs.
I think I saw you in some jock straps mm-hmm. the other day.
Oh, of course, probably. Yeah. That was a dancing gig in LA, in East LA, a couple of days ago. And so, yeah, there was we were kind of like the dance party was called Hot Dog Sunday. And so we called it that. We were at Hot Dog High, kind of like a 16 candles, you know, grease type thing, but in jock straps and like our, the varsity jerseys or varsity jackets and everything. And so, yeah, I don't think the gays would consider that a feminization.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's more of like, it taps into that, high school locker room mm-hmm. fantasy that I think a lot
more
of
playful came in. Energy.
Yeah. Yeah. More like bro energy.
Bro, kind of thing. Yeah. True.
But I've worn like aside from the chastity, I've worn like thongs. I've worn panties before. I don't think it has the same effect for me as it does for like my friend, that when he wears it, he goes fully into that space. When I wear it, I'm like, okay, when can I get these off? Like we've played up the first part of it. Like, let me get these off because I'm terribly uncomfortable, physically just right. terribly uncomfortable. Like a thong, you know, it gets in the way for me. And so I've experimented, but I don't think I've gone full, you know, wearing a skirt, wearing, you know, leggings or anything. I haven't done anything like that.
Yeah, you're more turned on by seeing that with other people.
mm-hmm. But also I just haven't really been in a situation where I could. Mm. Usually if I wanted to be more of like the feminization or play with the feminization, I would need someone to play that dominant role, to kind of, you know, assist me in really diving into it. So I haven't really been in a position where that's happened.
Yeah.
I'm open
maybe
to
one
it.
Day. Yeah. You're
open I'm very to open it. To it. But yeah, it just hasn't happened yet.
I'd love to hear it. Well, something else that I wanted to talk to you about, I've actually been reading this gay romance book and I love it. It's turning me on so much. but I saw that you have a lot of books on your like mm-hmm. Amazon wish page or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to talk about reading. Are you really into reading? Yes. Is that one of your kind of ways that you relax and hobby?
Yeah, it's over the last couple of years, because I've just been so busy and traveling so much and just all over the place, like collaborations take up a lot of time. Studio work can be an all day thing. So I haven't gotten to read that much, over the last year, but, so I got my master's in political science and public policy, and that was just in-depth reading all day long, for three years. Just constant reading. And so that kind of tapped me into that reading is like a way to grow and a way to learn, you know, new things on my own time in my own way. And so, yeah, I do love to read and I want to be able to get back to it. I just never have the time.
That's true. Now you're probably still busy with all your shoots and everything.
Yeah. So, but I still, when I do find the time to read, it is just a nice, relaxing, you know, I don't think about anything else. I kind of shut my brain off and just focus on whatever I'm reading. So it is a very peaceful kind of, you know, reset that I get to enjoy every now and then.
Yeah, I'm similarly. I haven't read in months, but my sister got me this book and it's
what's it called?
It's called Him. I don't know the author. Yeah. I got it at this really cool bookstore here in Culver City. It's really mm-hmm. cute. We went together and anyways, I started it the other day and it's yeah, it's just a gay romance. I'm in the beginning stages, but it's sexy. And I was like getting turned on yesterday. I was like, okay, baby,
I'm gonna have to
put your dick in my mouth now, because I'm like getting turned on by this high school like love oral scene that happened. Oh, and now they're like later in life and they like link again.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, something's about to happen here.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is straight, but I think he's bi, and the mm-hmm. other guy is out. And so I'm like, oh my God, yes, mm-hmm. this is going to be good. And it's very detailed. I love the details.
Yeah. That, believe it or not, that is probably more common than you realize, like actually common, not in just stories, but in real life.
The very high common. School, like, mm-hmm. yeah, blowjob.
Well, maybe not that far, but like, you know, like the high school romances are like that, because, you know, when I grew up, I grew up in Alabama in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Being gay was mortal sin, not acceptable in any way. And so most of us, especially in, you know, school, it was like a fear. It was a genuine fear. And also this was when the HIV epidemic was reaching its peak. And so most of us were afraid. Like if we were actually having homosexual thoughts or, you know, wanting to engage in homosexuality, we felt it was a death sentence. And so I stayed away as much as possible because I thought, I can't be like this. I can't do this. But there were guys in high school that I remember being like, in a heartbeat, I would just like get naked with this guy, like enjoy, like whatever happened, but it never really happened. But the thoughts and, you know, kind of every now and then there'd be like a moment. You could kind of tell that there was something there, but we couldn't engage in it. We couldn't try it, because if we were found out, or if, you know, what if we got HIV? It was always just like those kinds of things were keeping us from being able to try. But it was always kind of like moments every
that
now and
energy
then.
Energy shift where you're like, ooh, there's something here.
The energy. And so in that book, if they had like a moment like that, like that's actually pretty, I would say that's pretty common. And then mm-hmm. later in life, if they happen to reconnect again, they feel a little more comfortable to explore and like tap into that energy. So I would actually say it's probably pretty common.
Yeah. You know, I did also have, I sometimes ask for confessions through my listeners, and someone told me a confession recently that was like, I had this really secret romance with my football, you know, player friend in high school. And we had like a secret gay romance all through high school. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But what was it like for you? Like in Alabama growing, growing up like that, has it changed? Do you go back often? Like, do people accept you there?
So when I did come out, I was 23. That would have been 2008, I want to say. I came out. Nobody was really surprised. You know, I was always kind of daring and rebellious and didn't really do what other people expected of me, things like that. And so no one was really surprised. Most of my family was like, yeah, we figured. It's fine. You know, there was no like, hooray, hurrah, you know, no parties or anything, but it was just kind of a, okay, cool. You know, no big deal. I did lose friends though. When I came out, I remember one guy, I don't know why he said something like this, but he said, well, don't expect me to feel sorry for you. And I just kind of thought, I don't know what that means, but I'm taking it that we're done here.
Yeah, what a shitty thing to say.
Yeah, like, you know.
Maybe he didn't know what to say, but that doesn't really make, that's kind of an insult.
Right. And so I just kind of thought, yeah, we're done here, you know. but overall, like when it comes to Alabama, there's still just so much deep-seated, denial of human feelings. A lot of it is religious based. I'm an atheist. I've identified as an atheist since I was 13. And that got me even more in trouble with people, because one of the first things that people in Alabama ask you if you live there is, what church do you go to? And when I would be, I'm an atheist, I don't have a church, you know? And immediately it was like, oh, we can't be friends. We can't talk to you. We can't be around you. You're going to hell. I don't want to spend any time or effort on someone that's going to hell. And so that's the mentality of Alabama. I don't know if y'all just recently saw the Alabama Supreme Court decision that said that embryos were children.
Oh God.
Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah. It was for an IVF Someone brought a lawsuit for, you know, in vitro fertilization, and some of the eggs were destroyed because they weren't usable or they weren't going to use them. And someone brought a lawsuit against the IVF facility to say that that was murdering children.
Oh my God, that's so fucked up.
It's Alabama. It's Alabama.
I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I know that there's this crazy shit happening in our world. And I'm trying to be on top of it because of this election coming up that just disgusts me. But it's just like, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed by certain things in our world or in the states specifically that are happening.
Yeah.
But that specifically, you know, it's just, I don't know. I firmly believe that a woman's body is a woman's body, and you should be able to have an abortion if you're not ready or if it's, you know, that just embryos are, I don't believe that they're.
And as a gay man, I'm like, women's bodies, and it should be between you and your doctor, and if you're in a relationship, like, it should be a full discussion, not having any limitations on what you are able to do, like, to take care of your health. That's and I think Alabama is one of the states where they only allow it up to like 6 weeks if it happens. I don't even know if that's the case.
Yeah, there are many states still that prosecute if you have an abortion after a certain time frame.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because now people are going to Mexico to get abortions, and it's, you know, maybe it's not as safe, or they're going to clinics that aren't as safe. And then there's health problems that could follow. And
Women are risking their health now.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, for a natural occurrence, women are risking their overall health. And not to mention, like, if they have the financial ability to take care of it. That's one of the things that, you know, people have asked me if I want children, and I don't want children. I know this, and I would not want to have a child unless I was financially capable of bringing a child into this world and providing everything that I could possibly provide for this child. You know,
that's the biggest thing that my partner and I talk about is we do really want kids, but the biggest thing that I'm most fearful of is just like financial stability. Yes. And living in LA, like, it's just really hard to like think about a future with kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd love to stay living on the water where we live now, but like thinking about that, it's just, it's scary.
Yeah.
So I'm in the same boat where, I mean, I definitely want kids. I definitely see that for my future.
Yeah.
But like, I definitely want to feel financially like stable first. And I've said that to people, and they're like, you just figure it out, you know, but I'm like, I don't think I just want to figure that out. I think I want to save a lot and like just kind of be prepared for, because it's expensive. And I actually just bartended this event not long ago, and it was like a preschool event, and it was like a thing in Santa Monica.
You bartended a preschool event?
Yeah. There were no kids there, but it was at a preschool, and it was like this art show.
Got it.
And all the parents were there, and it was like super LA Santa Monica vibes. Everyone's super artsy, and there's all these pieces of art on the wall. And I find out that these kids, these preschool kids, did the art. And so they're auctioning off these art pieces that the kids did and raising money. Meanwhile, there's like a sushi stand, there's two bars, there's like all these things. And I'm like, dang, I'll like get home. I'm like, baby, I think I found our preschool for our kids. This place is so cool. Like, $30,000. $30,000 for preschool.
For the whole kid.
Oh no. For your kid to go.
No.
I was like, holy shit.
Is that a tax write-off? Like, I have so many questions. But you're exactly right. And I think this was, we started off with how like living in Alabama was, and we kind of we went to children. but at the end of the day, you know, like I don't really want kids. I would rather be much more financially stable to have children. Mm-hmm. But I completely agree with you that it is your decision. It is not like not my decision. Certainly not some male politician's decision.
Right. Like, or whoever went against the IVF clinic, like, that's not their decision.
Right. I think the Alabama Supreme Court is all men as well.
Oh, wow.
I think so. You know, growing up and being in Alabama and trying to navigate being a rebellious homosexual atheist in Alabama was, it was torment. It was yet again, it was another place where I was completely surrounded by people that wanted to restrict me and wanted to make me fit into a mold. And I could not get out of there fast enough. It was as soon as I was done with my education, I said, peace out. I'm gone. Because yet again, it's one of those cases, and I keep seeing this happen over and over again in my life, is when people try to restrict me, when people try and put me in a box or keep me from exploring and doing the things that I want to do and living how I want to live, I can't get away from it fast enough.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you left when you did. I'm sure that was a weight lifting off. Like, where did you go first?
I went to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And I lived there for about a decade. I was in a relationship for about 4 years of that, the first 4 years, and was on a very tight leash with my, he's my ex-fiance. But being in Washington, D.C., which is a very, you know, like LGBTQ city, like it is highly, like the population of LGBTQ people is very dense in D.C. So there were a lot of gay men in D.C. and a lot of very good looking gay men in D.C.
Nice. Good place to go.
Yeah. But I was on a very tight leash and we were completely closed. He refused to even have like a threesome, like didn't even. The idea did not even cross his mind. And so all of these things that I'm like, I wanted to try and I wanted to do were completely closed off. Mm-hmm. And so when we finally, it's kind of a funny thing to talk about. When we finally broke up, it was like floodgates opened, right. You know, like
now I'm free.
I'm free. And when I tell you that I explored all of DC, I explored all of DC.
I love it. Threesomes, orgies, kink, everything.
All of it. They have this event in DC called a Mid-Atlantic Leather. And I got to go, and it's quite literally people walking around in puppy outfits. You know, like, I don't know if you've heard of like puppy play and things like that. People walking around in that, you know, fully donned in leather. There's just like, you know, dildo stations everywhere, lube station. Everybody's talking about, you know, this fetish, this kink. So I went to one of those and it just was an eye-opening experience to see like, oh, there's so much here to explore. There's so much here to play with. And so it was kind of from that moment on, I told myself that I can't ever be in a closed relationship again. I can't be in a relationship where I'm denied exploring and experimenting in that way.
Yeah, it's good when you kind of find yourself and you realize what you really want and And I've had those moments too, whether it was like a BDSM club or going home with a woman for the first time, where it's like, oh my God, the floodgates are now open. It's like, holy shit. Like now I just have all these ideas and all these fantasies. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really beautiful. And that's what I encourage in my listeners and everyone is just like exploring is so important because it really does empower you and it makes you feel more comfortable in your authenticity, which is what I encourage. And so that's beautiful to hear that, you know, you went from a very closed space multiple times to now be so open and free.
Yeah. And the word that really I honed in on there just then was authentic, being your authentic self. I'm finally living a life where I get to be that person. And I better believe I will fight tooth and nail for, you know, against anyone that tries to restrict that or tries to pin, you know, keep me from being my authentic self. So that's the word right there. And when people get to explore and get to experiment, the one thing I would love for people to understand is they should not feel shame in experimenting. They should not feel shame in exploring anything. As long as boundaries are respected, as long as you communicate with, if someone else is involved, as long as you are communicating and you are experiencing these things in a safe environment, do not feel shame. But if you're going into it like, I'm just going to do whatever I want, I'm going to, you know, have fun however I want, you're probably going to run into some trouble and you should take a step back and reevaluate because not many people are going to be open to that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, as we're kind of wrapping up a little, I love to ask my guests their favorite or their most recent sweet release moment. Orgasm, any and all details you're willing to share.
Oh man, like so quite literally me. I was thinking of what, on an episode or something that you had. I was like, wait, y'all do that?
No, yeah, the last time you had that sweet release.
Oh man. It was actually just yesterday.
Nice. Yeah, mine too.
Perfect. Yeah. I had a bisexual threesome.
Oh.
Yesterday. And it was with these two. It's with Tallulah and Jake. I don't know if you're familiar with their work. They're coming into OnlyFans, like doing their thing. Both of them are very muscular and very strong.
So is it a male and a female?
Mm-hmm, male okay. and a female.
Cool.
And they were just, we had like an hour conversation before even starting anything. And it was just, we got that connection. We felt the chemistry. We felt everything. Like we kind of felt each other out, you know, without actually feeling each other. Mm-hmm. And there was this one moment where I was in missionary. Like my legs were kind of being held back by Tallulah. And she was like kissing my ear. She was kind of like cradling me. And Jake was fucking me. And it was just this whole, like all of the senses were taken care of in that moment, you know? So it was, and I just got to kind of sit back and she was edging me like while he was fucking me. You could see him, he was building up a sweat. And there was just this moment where like all of my, you know, like I say, all of my senses and some of my kinks were being hit all at once. And it was just such a, like, yet again, it was a mental thing. I didn't come, but mentally everything was satisfied in that moment. But I was still getting physical pleasure from it too. But yeah, that was probably the moment where I just thought, like, big smile came over my face.
Yeah, and feeling
I was just
blessed.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, love my life. Yeah, like, this is so great.
Good. I have a sexy woman cradling my head. I have a sexy man fucking me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah, you're pulling out my pussy strings there. Yeah. I'm like a bisexual threesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fun. Well, thanks so much for coming on and being vulnerable and sharing all of your wisdom as well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me and thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
This I feel is very important.
Right back at you. I love the gay meteor. You know, yeah. Keep it going.
Oh, yeah. The explosion still hasn't stopped. Like,
yes,
it's still going.
Let's let it ripple more and more. Well, thank you, Derek Cage. And to you guys, be sweet. Be sweet to the adult performers out there. Be sweet to the gay community and the fluid community and all of us. We're just being ourselves. Love you guys. Talk soon.